Hello, my name is Lawrence Wilson, and welcome to a study through the book of Hebrews. We have, in the most recent videos, been discussing the priesthood of Christ, the sacrifice that he made once for all time, for our benefit, for the benefit of all who will believe in him. We move in now to the central passage in the book of Hebrews. Not central because of its position in the book, we're more than halfway through the book, but central because it contains the primary argument, if you will, or the primary exhortation that this author had for his readers. The primary goal of his writing was to get them to follow these encouragements that he has here, these commands that he has here in this part of Hebrews chapter 10. So we begin reading in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So because of all the things that Jesus has done for us in his sacrifice, again, we've looked at all of that in the last few chapters. Because of what Christ has done for us and allowing us now to draw near to Christ, he then encourages them, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Keeping in mind that again, these Christians, these Jewish Christians, were experiencing a lot of persecution at this time, and that was causing them to shrink back from Christ, to pull back from Christ, wondering whether they were actually on the right path. And he's telling them, let us actually draw near to God. Let's push through going toward Christ because we can have this full assurance of faith. Continuing on in verse 22, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So let us also hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Again, rather than abandoning our faith, as these Jewish Christians were being tempted to do in favor of returning to the Judaistic way of living, he says, rather than abandoning our faith, let's hold on to the faith that we have, because it's not about what we can do, but the one who our faith is in is faithful to keep his promises. And we've seen that with even some of the quotes from the Old Testament that we have seen in the big book of Hebrews, how Christ fulfilled some of God's promises already and how he's continuing to fulfill his promises. So let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So let's find ways that we can point each other onto the right path, that we can encourage each other. And notice that he says the best way to do this is by actually coming together, by spending time together with one another, learning to hear the struggles that each one of us is dealing with, and finding ways to stir each other up to do the right thing, to encourage each other, right? It's why we meet on Sundays. It's why we have life groups and things like that. It's why we have discipleship groups. It's why we do things like this, because we need to encourage each other. We need to lean on each other in times of weakness. We need to depend upon each other because we all, though maybe we're not tempted to return to a Judaistic way of life if we didn't come from that, but we all are tempted at times, like these believers perhaps, to shrink back from Christ, to pull back because of the suffering that the Christian life causes for us. The persecution, though it's probably not as severe as what these believers were dealing with in the first century, but the persecution that comes into our lives or whatever hardships come into our lives, perhaps it was easy for us to think sometimes about pulling back, about shrinking back from Jesus Christ. And he says, let's not do that. Let's draw near, right? Let's hold fast to this faith that we have, and let's consider how to stir each other up, not neglecting meeting together, but encouraging each other every day. Verse 26, we begin again with one of the dire warnings of the book of Hebrews. We've already seen several of these warnings. He brings in again another warning. For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. So similar to the passage we saw in Hebrews 6, where there are some who have abandoned the faith completely in Christ because of whatever they've been dealing with and have just turned their back completely, he says, look, if somebody now has received the full knowledge of the truth about Christ and then continues willfully to reject it, willfully to ignore it, to say, well, I still think that my other way of living is better, another way of life is better, then he says, what other hope is there? There's no other sacrifice for sins. If they're rejecting Christ's sacrifice on their behalf and saying, that's not good enough for me, he's saying there's no other sacrifice that's going to do it. We've just seen in the last few chapters how the sacrifices that were being done through the Old Testament didn't do anything. They didn't do anything towards affecting someone's salvation. So he says, there remains no longer a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. All that remains for them is the penalty for rejection of Jesus Christ. The penalty for sin is all that remains still upon them. They have not accepted Christ's salvation from that penalty, and so it is still there. Verse 28, anyone who has set aside the laws of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. That was the rule for the Jewish people in the Old Testament. If they decided to abandon the way of the covenant that God had given to the people of Israel, they were exiled from the community. They suffered the penalty of death whenever there were two or three witnesses who said, hey, this person is an apostate. This person is an unbeliever. This person is rejecting the covenant. Well, we've seen how the covenant that Jesus brings in is a better covenant than the old covenant. So he says in verse 29, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? He said, if you think it was a bad penalty to reject the old covenant, what about this new covenant that Jesus has brought in with a better sacrifice? And giving his own blood, and somebody to look at the blood of Christ and reject it and to say, that's not good enough to get me through whatever this is I'm going through. I'm rejecting it. How much worse of a punishment, he says, do you expect that that person will receive? Verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. These are two quotes from Deuteronomy 32, which you could check out for yourself later, but they serve to make the same point that he brings in verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So again, the crux of the issue in the book of Hebrews comes in this particular passage in Hebrews chapter 10. We've got a group of Jewish believers who are feeling threatened by others around them in the Roman Empire they're living in, and they are considering whether it would not be better to give up on Jesus Christ and return to their old way of living. And here, after everything the author of the book of Hebrews has said so far, he encourages them, don't shrink back. Push onward. Draw near to Christ. Draw near to God. Christ has made that a possibility. He's made the way open. So step through the veil into the presence of God. Come closer to God. Hold on to the faith that you have in him. Encourage each other. Yes, it's hard. Yes, there's difficult things going on, but continue to gather together. Continue to encourage each other so that you push onward towards that goal, so that you move toward Christ, move toward God. Don't pull back. Don't pull away, because as he brings in another warning here, because those who do that, if somebody fully knows everything that Jesus Christ has to offer and is rejecting it, there's very little hope of salvation for that person, right? Because there's no other way of salvation, right? This is the path. Jesus made the sacrifice. And so anyone who's shrinking back, he says, once again, is in danger of a very, very severe penalty, because there's very little hope that that person can be convinced to trust in Christ, they have all this knowledge that the author of Hebrews has just presented. So just as much as there is the encouragement for us to draw near to God, the warning is very real for each of us to search our own hearts, to make sure that we are not pulling back from Jesus Christ, because he is the only hope for our salvation. He is the only way. The other alternative, the author of Hebrews doesn't even want to discuss, just saying it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We'll leave it at that. But thankfully, for those of us who are believers, we do not have to think about that. We can draw near with full assurance because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sins. I hope that something said here today ministered to your heart, and I hope and pray that you share it with those around you. Thank you, and God bless.